Good evening, denizens of Internet Wonderland. I hope my voice finds you well. Welcome back to my home. This is Cheshire's Place. As always, I am your host, the melodious one, Mr. Cheshire. You can always find me in my small little corner of Internet Wonderland by clicking a like on the Facebook group page, Cheshire's Place, a looking glass in a logical madness. You can listen to this episode and all other content on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and many other platforms. And if you ever feel like dropping a line, saying hi, giving any thoughts or suggestions for upcoming episodes, feel free to email me at CheshireLookingGlass@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at @PlaceCheshire. Here we are. It's finally happening. Fall is beginning to come upon us. The coolness of the air, the crispness of the cold. The leaves are really beginning to change color. And once again, the Han Solo vest-wearing, Ugg boot-walking, pumpkin spice latte crowd is finally clamoring around their nearest Starbucks. Or in this case, two Starbucks, the station, and a few other coffee places for that sweet nectar pumpkin spice. Which I really don't like, but hey, everyone, I despise it.
Smell, it's like, it makes me feel like a man, just smelling.
God, no. Anyways, folks.
Oh, wait, you haven't introduced me yet. I better go hide again.
Yeah, you have to go hide. But, interrupting in my monologue, wow. But anyways, folks. Also, it is that spooky season that I alluded to last episode, and it's time that we celebrate it a little bit. So we're going to be kicking off by talking a little bit about spooky content creators on YouTube. And what I mean by we, well, you already heard the voice of my co-host, so proper introductions. Of course, you know him, you love him, he is my co-host, he is my ride or die, he is my hetero life mate, he is the man, the myth, the legend, Monkey. How's it going, Monkey?
Oh, you mean me? Oh.
Yeah, yes. You.
Hi, hello.
Yeah, it's
hello.
Your turn.
TV. Oh, hi. All right. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Now, unfortunately, we do not have the sexual chocolate of Internet Wonderland D-Twizzle with us because tonight is the weekend viewing of, I don't want to butcher the name. Church Basement Ladies. There it is. Yep. So he's not with us today because he's actually part of that show. And if you're listening and you're part of the Minot area, they do have next weekend. So it'll be next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday will be the final 3 days for the production. So if you want to go support D-Twizzle on the show, feel free, you know, as always, needed. But anyways,
yes,
Monkey, spooky season.
Yes,
indeed. I mean, pretty much it started in late August.
Spooky season started like 4 years ago. It just hasn't ended.
Yeah, that is true.
And it never will.
I mean, everyone just watching their favorite horror movies and you know, decorating for Halloween super early. I mean, if you go around at all the stores, I mean, Halloween decorations been up since, God, how long? Since July almost?
No, not really. They start coming about August, but then you got in mid-October, you start getting Christmas stuff in.
And just skipping Thanksgiving, I mean, one of the better holidays because of all the food.
Yeah, you would think that'd be more important. Gotta get the food, but no.
Yeah, no.
They're like candy. And then presents, not food. You don't need no food.
Can't yeah, it's presents. just a quick jump.
Sounds like my lifestyle. Candy and presents. That's all I care about. And coffee. And cigarettes.
You about to say, you're forgetting too.
I just kind of got back to them. I looped around.
Yeah, there you go.
Caffeine, nicotine, sugar, bacon. Four basic food groups right there.
Pretty much. So, anyways, Monkey.
That's me.
Spooky content on YouTube and content creators.
Yes.
I mean, there's quite a few of them out there.
There are quite a few, and there are some very enjoyable ones that I enjoy listening to and just checking out their content. Sometimes some of the content does overlap because some is just a rehashing or sometimes a little bit deeper dive into the same subject matter, or even just it's a similar content thing.
Right. I mean, which there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes different creators will have like different points of view relating to the content or some additional information. Right. So, I mean, the entire idea is to bring out content that is scary.
Sometimes scary, sometimes just even a mystery per se, or kind of, I'll get into when we start talking about specific creators, but some of them are even just, crime-related things and just how odd they were, or even if they're unsolved and, you know, just different things that just make you kind of wonder, like, was that real, or how did they do that? How did they get away with it? No one found them. What kind of rabbit hole are you going down after that, you know?
I mean, there's a lot involved.
Yeah, definitely.
And which that reminds me, just a quick reminder, here pretty soon, one of our Internet Wonderland family members, being the axe-wielding diva Lizzie B, she'll be actually coming out with her podcast called The Alluring Hour, which will be covering mysteries, true crimes, conspiracy theories, cold cases, and many other wonderful things if you're into the macabre and spooky. Yes. So once that comes out, we will definitely give everyone a date and a platform to be looking into and tuning in for her podcast. So I know that she hasn't been feeling well as of late, and she's a little bit behind schedule, but I know once she actually gets to it, it'll be amazing.
Yes, amazing.
So, but first and foremost, we do have a couple of things to... Well, we have a couple of things to talk about before we get into Monkey Coconut News.
Ah, okay.
A little bit of local news.
Oh, there's local news?
Yeah. I think I told you about it. It was about the mysterious gentleman that was in front of the grocery store, butt naked, thinking... Okay, folks, so here we go. So, last week sometime...
It was on, I think, Sunday, actually.
Yeah.
Because I know, because I was on a trip in and I saw that on a Facebook post. I was like, okie dokie then. So that's what's happening in town right now.
Yeah, so police responded to a call by one of the marketplace food stores that we had. And it'd be considered the main one because yes. It's on Broadway. And
it was the initial one that we had in our city. And
yes.
Then they kind of bought up the other local grocery stores that we had in our area, and they turned them into marketplaces.
Yeah. So this individual was on a light post. So if you've seen, like, store light posts, they have, like, the little cement part and then the actual pole. Well, this person was standing on the cement part.
Cement. Just the way you say it.
Concrete. Here, concrete. Butt naked. Proclaiming that he is Jesus Christ and he was being crucified on the cross. Now, if you ever get a chance to go on Minot Whiners and Complainers 2.0 or a few other Minot websites, they have pictures of this individual and also pictures of the police officers responding to this individual. And kids, this is just pretty much a PSA for not doing drugs.
Don't do drugs. Don't do alcohol. Don't do milk. Don't go to school.
Okay, you're going a little too far on that. No, go to school.
Don't do milk.
And some people may be lactose intolerant, so that's understandable. Lactose intolerant. I know I am, but that's perfectly fine. But anyways, so there's that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that one, man?
It was, definitely a thought of there was probably some kind of narcotics involved, if not just alcohol, maybe even a cocktail of both. Per se. It reminds me of the story from about, I want to say, mid-2010, somewhere around there, with the infamous bath salt with the people were proclaiming was the crazed zombie.
Yeah.
Where he was butt naked and eating a bum, and cops shot him, and he just turned and growled at them. So in other words, this guy was a little bit happier than that guy was, but...
Yeah, needless to say, the pictures came across real quick on that day and, you know, wasn't really expecting anything like that, but here we are. Now, the second bit of news And we might as well just go ahead and get this out of the way. On October 1st, we yes. will not be recording an episode of Cheshire's Place.
Yes, we have a small detour we're going to take there on the event day of that will cause us to not be able to record that night because we won't be back till late night and things and mornings and stuff going on.
Yep, so WWE is actually coming to Bismarck, North Dakota. They're actually hitting a couple of spots here in North Dakota next month. Actually, no, they have the Grand Forks one coming up next week.
Eh.
So, yeah, we ain't going to Grand Forks. We'll go to Bismarck.
It's too far.
Definitely. But, yeah, we're going to go see WWE in Bismarck, which is going to be fun because, one, we're not actively involved in a show.
Yes.
And two, Miss Stitch, this is going to be her first, like, live WWE event. So this is something very fun for all of us.
Yes.
So I'm excited. I mean, we have 13 more days to go until the event. Monkey, like,
yes,
you got to see a little bit of the card that they're predicting, right?
I've heard bits and pieces, but... The headline match is supposed to be Matt Riddle versus Seth Rollins, to my knowledge.
Yes. And, of course, Bianca Belair is supposed to be at the show. United States champion Bobby Lashley. Well, as long as he holds the belt, because we know on Monday it's going to be Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley for the U.S. title. You know, there's going to be quite a few stars there. And, of course, as always, the card is subject to change.
Yes.
So... We're all excited to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. I kind of am saddened that we're not getting kind of the same show that we got before at one point. About 20 years ago, we had a show up in Bismarck. And that's when we still had Teddy Long and... Oh, what the heck was it? Rodney Mack.
Yeah.
And, of course, North Dakota being up a little farther north... The complexion of most people up here is pretty light-skinned, to say the least. And, of course, he referred to the town as Bismarck White Dakota, so he called it.
Oh, man.
It was the greatest rip on the crowd ever, and I laughed even though I was part of the crowd. And I'm fairly light-skinned, so true. I still got a big kick out of it, and I was a total heel mark that night. To the point where the headline match for that night was... RVD versus Christian, and that's when RVD was babyface and Christian was the heel, I believe, for the Intercontinental title at the time. And of course, the crowd was doing the RVD chants, and when they said RVD, I would let out "sucks" afterwards, and everyone would stop and look around like, "What? Who said that?"
Nice.
And I think even RVD was like, "Dude, someone don't like me." he did his whole look around. Even though he was, you know, kind of down, he kind of was looking up like,
It happens. It happens.
But then again, that's RVD normally, you know, so.
True. So, you know, thinking back about pro wrestling and everything about WWE live events, you know, a lot of people would be shocked to find out that North Dakota is one of their bigger markets.
It is, yet we don't really
get too many shows.
Well, in our general area, we don't get a lot, but I know Fargo gets hit because they're on that border of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Well, not Minneapolis, but Minnesota specifically. Yeah. So Fargo and Grand Forks do get hit quite often, but anything west of that, they kind of just jump over and go straight to Idaho or Wyoming, possibly.
Yeah.
So they usually just kind of graze over past us.
So it's actually a good thing that we're getting a show.
Yes.
And it seems like it's going to be a good card.
Yeah, man. Actually, even to reiterate, that house show that I went to about 20 years ago, it had been like 20, 30 years since the last time they were in Bismarck. And again, this time, it's been about another 20 years since they've been in Bismarck.
Yeah. So
it's like they're doing a 20-year loop, I guess.
We're not that important.
Well, we are Bismarck, White Dakota, you know.
Wow. Just wow. So, but anyways, man, I think it's time that we hear from, before I forget, going back to D Twizzle.
Yeah.
I forgot to actually ask him if he's going to go to Bismarck to the show.
Find out.
I should. I'll find out tonight after everything is said and done due to the fact that he is performing.
Yes.
But also, I don't know if he would actually go because Nikita isn't going to be there.
True, true.
I mean...
Well, Natalia might be there.
Natalia and might
Natty,
be there.
And he kind of likes Natty too, so...
I'm sorry. My argument is that the younger sister is the hotter one.
True, true.
I mean, I don't know why... I don't know what he doesn't see. But... The younger one is the hotter one. But everyone has preference.
Yes.
So I'm not about to judge.
My preference is a little bit taller, you know, darker hair, lighter complexion, Australian accent-y.
You mean Mama Ria?
Oh, yeah. Mama Ria, Mama Ria. Don't let me go.
I'm sorry. I think Dominic Guerrero. Oh, I'm sorry. Dominic Mysterio would actually have some words for you.
Oh, no, he's like, he doesn't care because, you know, she would be the one in charge anyway, so.
True, true, true. By any chance, if Dominic or Rhea listen to the show, we're just basing this off the characters y'all portray on Mondays and Fridays, whenever, you know, whichever program you're on.
Is that what you're thinking about? I'm not thinking about it.
Rhea, we know that you're actually dating Buddy Matthews, but if you could ever, you know... drop a line to Monkey. I think that would make his day.
I'll show you a shrimp on a Barbie.
Ooh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow. And if somehow you need to whoop his ass, I mean, I'm not going to stop you either. But then again, he's into that type of stuff. But anyways. Oh, man.
It's definitely... So where are we going with this again?
Oh, no. We just completely traversed.
Thank you for coming, Ron. Good night.
Yep. start the end music now. Now, so we're going to go ahead and hop into Monkey Coconut News. Take it away.
Welcome to Monkey Coconut News. I'm Monkey. So a couple of quick little blurbs here. First and foremost, probably one of the most exciting bits of news a lot of people have been talking about recently is that the Constantine sequel is sounding like it is going to be in production with the original director, Francis Lawrence, and they are getting Keanu Reeves back to reprise his role as John Constantine. So that is very, very awesome sounding, and I am one who is very excited about it. Granted, yes, the original Constantine movie did not quite follow the comic as the actual Constantine TV series did a little bit better, but still, it's Keanu Reeves, and Keanu Reeves is cool, and it's a good movie. It was enjoyable, so I'm excited for that. Second on the bits of news and rumors I've been hearing floating around is apparently there's been a lot of talks and rumors that Comcast might be buying Warner Discovery, because apparently I guess they're working on selling Warner Discovery after Discovery just bought Warner, so, and Time, AOL, and all that fun stuff, and they're looking to buy it and merge it with their other owned TV network, which is NBC Universal. So that does kind of raise some interesting flags of almost a monopoly of sorts. That, I mean, they don't have control over ABC, which Disney owns, but there is the point of where that's going to come up with some questions about one of our favorite subjects, which is pro wrestling, because NBC Universal is the owners of the channels of Sci-Fi Channel and the USA, which broadcast WWE Network stuff, and they have the Peacock, which is WWE, and then Warner Discovery is the owners of TBS, TNT, and TMC and stuff like that, which is also HBO Max, and they broadcast the AEW shows, so it's going to be interesting to see how that floats, because if they take over that, will they give preferential treatment to WWE, or will they go with the, I guess you can call it, newer, hipper stuff of AEW? So, that does leave a little interesting this. Your thoughts on that?
So... because whenever you told me about this initially, I kept pondering and pondering what would happen. Now, is it a done deal that the merger is going to happen? No. It's
a rumor right now.
Yeah. I mean, and you can find a lot of content on it online about the discussion. Now, if they do it, I have a feeling that they're going to show more preferred treatment towards WWE.
Right. And just the fact that, again, with the whole Time Warner AO thing, the person that Tony Khan made the deal with for the contract for the broadcasting of AEW, the person who he made the deal with initially is no longer with the company after the Discovery Time Warner deal. So does he have anyone that is going to back him? And is it going to be just like WCW was back in the day where when AOL and Time Warner merged and it was a lot of new people coming in and they were like, we don't really care about pro wrestling, or at least not this kind of pro wrestling.
Right. Now, what I would like to see, I mean, if the merger does happen, you know, hypothetical.
Yes.
What I would like to see is that they still have AEW on. Because you have to think, at the end of the day, it's about numbers. It's about how much revenue is being generated due to people tuning in to shows and watching.
Right.
I mean, I would rather see AEW stay on. I'd want to see them include Ring of Honor to start, you know, broadcasting on some of their channels, because if they do the merger, that's going to be a lot of grounds that they can put programming on.
But then here comes the other thing, where if they do the merger, now maybe possibly NBC Universal might be interested in the ROH content as opposed to Time Warner, who some of the execs there were not interested in certain specific wrestlers, namely the
Briscoes.
The Briscoes, yeah, thank you. I couldn't remember their names for a second there.
So I see where you come from, and, you know, it opened up a lot of possibilities.
True, but then again, it is a possibility of a lot of quashing as well, so.
Right. I mean, I guess we'll have to see what's coming up in the coming weeks and months relating to the potential merger.
Yes, and again, it's also another thing whether the FCC allows it too, if it is that big of a thing, because it is almost a big majority monopoly, kind of like, you know, ABC and Fox already, and if we only have the quote-unquote two companies running everything pretty much, you know, there is going to be some heavy sanctions probably thrown down that would probably cause everything to kind of cut up again.
Right. So let's just see what happens next. I mean, if it does happen, okay, let's hope that things work out for the best. If it doesn't happen, all right, perfectly fine. I mean, they already did the Warner Brothers Discovery merger.
Yeah.
Why rush into another bloody merger? Yeah.
Well, again, the Warner Brothers Discovery merger was on the Discovery portion of it, which now Comcast is initiating the purchase of Warner Discovery.
Right.
And so they're a separate entity at this point purchasing that. It's kind of like the long run of, you know, Marvel buying Ultraverse and then ABC buying Marvel and then Disney buying all of it.
Right.
So it's kind of a weird pickup here, pickup there, you know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yes. Now, one last bit of news blurb here, which is something that's kind of was on a little bit of the radar. Not major people will probably know much about it, but a Chinese production company, Tencent, apparently, they have laid off pretty much all of their staff that were involved with their game site, Fanbyte. So that basically is a sign of them probably shutting down that site, which I believe was a news site more than and review site than it was an actual, like, you know, game programming thing. So that was a very interesting bit of news there. Definite signs that they're just shutting that division down, but just letting go of how many thousands of people that were probably involved in that site, including the journalists and people running it and programming the site and everything like that. That's kind of a really interesting subject I saw there, and it's a sign of, you know, a lot of gaming sites have been kind of shutting down, especially the game journalist ones, because of, you know, just different thing, not really getting the views that they used to get in the day.
Right.
But that is the majority of the main news that I have at this point. And yeah, that's all I gotta say about it.
So, you know, thinking about all this,
yes,
especially in terms of like the merger, mm-hmm. I wonder what would happen with the proposed DC movie segment, mm-hmm. or sect, or whatever you want to call it. Like, because, you know, Warner Brothers wanted to put that the focus.
DCEU, whatever. Or,
yeah, because yeah. they were supposed to be doing it like an actual movie company, like Marvel has.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because that's already in disarray with everything going on.
Yeah.
So I think it's time that we talk about some scary and creepy YouTubers, man.
Yes. I mean, if we were on YouTube, we'd be very scary, very creepy. At least me. I mean,
you never know.
I'm kind of an oddball, as you ever noticed by now.
Yeah, but at least you're a lovable oddball, man.
So am I Shockmaster now? Wow. Like, oh, you bubbling fool, but you're a lovable bubbling fool.
You really had to break out that one, didn't you?
Yes.
You had to make that reference.
All right.
Anyways, so everyone knows that YouTube is a platform for social media, for videos, and for content that can range from simple how to do certain things, DIY, to some of our personal favorites, wrestling, anime, movies, video games.
News, you know, reviews, and just basic storytelling, kind of. And
so we're going to discuss some of our favorite creepy YouTubers out there.
Yes.
Now, mind you, we view a wide range of different individuals, yes. and we love your content. We really do. So we just want to share a little bit of the love and show appreciation for what it is you do, because everyone that we're mentioning brings loads of information.
Yes.
Relating to cold cases, mysteries,
just strange things or
urban legends, dark
things, yeah. Or even creepypastas for that matter.
Yep. Which, by the way, we haven't done a creepypasta episode in a while.
Yeah.
We'll save it for later.
Sometime.
Season 7, seeing how it'll fall under fall time?
Yeah. Well, somewhere.
Yeah, because season 6 is New Year's, Valentine's, and
sure.
Oh, don't worry. We're doing a scary Valentine's one.
Okay.
Yeah, we ain't doing the lovey-dovey one. Anyway, so, Monkey, I'm going to have you kick this one off, man.
Alrighty. Well, so first one I would like to talk about here, and this is one of those I actually kind of highlighted when we were talking about kind of our favorite YouTubers and just the YouTube and VTuber rabbit hole we went down a while back. That is Mr. Ballin is one of my favorite YouTubers. Again, his tagline is strange, dark, and mysterious stuff. Excuse me.
Yep, no problem, bud.
And so he does tell us a lot of things. One of the things he kind of features regularly, or before he featured regularly, was he would highlight a couple of different things from a book series called the 411 series, which is a book series with a bunch of cases of people who've gone missing mysteriously in like national forests, and sometimes they come back and they don't know where they've been, they don't realize how long they've been gone, and other times obviously they just have up and disappeared and no one's found them before since then. So that's a pretty interesting and strange things. He even talks about in one of his episodes, in what he actually got famous for was his stuff on TikTok initially before he moved to YouTube, and he talked about a personal experience that he had where essentially he had a paranormal experience while basically vacationing with his friends and at a log cabin thing in the middle of the woods, and it had been like right after his friend's dad passed away. And they had just kind of had the thing already planned out. So they were like, well, we're going to go anyways. And it'd be something that, you know, we just need to do. And he talks about this experience. And he even mentions at the very end, this was my personal experience. So this is not just a story that I heard from somewhere else or saw somewhere else. This was my personal experience. So, and this is what kind of got him interested in this kind of content. Again, so a lot of the things on that are mainly things like that, and then including other times he might talk about things with like a kind of like last pictures people have taken before something happened, obviously, weird foreshadowing of things, or even just weird like experiences people have had, and they survived it, and they're kind of dumbfounded at how they survived it. Because of everything else involved in it, they should have either died or gotten injured or worse at that point. So that's my first a pick to have people check out is Mr. Bolin.
So my first pick. Now, I have to go with Rob Gavigan.
Rob Gavigan.
Yep. Now, for those who don't know, Rob Gavigan was actually known as Rob Dyke for a while. But then there was an actual court case against him about changing the name. Because so how it worked is someone reported him because his last name was too offensive.
Which is kind of awkward because it was probably more of an homage to like Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, it was I can't remember the full story about it, but he changed it to Gavigan after I think it was an aunt. That passed away a long time ago as a family name. But Rob actually does the Seriously Strange series, which talks about different cold cases, talks about different creepypastas, conspiracy theories. Also, he does the Seriously Strange Twisted Tens, which are like 10 real terrifying events caught on camera, 10 worst, most shocking events of 2021. He also does the Seriously Strange Caught on Camera series and the Serial Killer Files. So he actually talked about quite a few, like the Eyeball Killer, Samuel Little, the Pig Farm of Horrors. He also does the Question Everything series and Why Would You Put That on the Internet? So he has a lot of in-depth subjects that he's talking about, and the research he does for all of these subjects, I mean, it's crazy how much work he puts into it. You know that he loves his job whenever he's really putting in focus on these subjects.
Oh, yeah.
So he's definitely my first pick.
Nice. All right. My turn, eh?
Yep, yours.
All right, so going into the more kind of dark and strange things, one that's actually very nicely named, Scary Mysteries.
Yep.
So Scary Mysteries is usually hosted by a gentleman named Andrew Fitzgerald, and he talks about different things. Usually throughout the week, he has a couple of different segments throughout the week. One segment is usually Twisted Twos, usually comes out on Tuesdays, and it's basically two articles about things going on either in the world or just random whatever things that he discovered that week. Other things he talks about is he does have the Everytown podcast, which is basically kind of usually a strange mystery relating to a murder or just some unsolved thing or even things that were solved but were just so weird and messed up that the way it went about and how they found out about things about that. Other times he does like top fives. He's had like top fives of different cryptids from other areas. He's had top five weird random things that have been found that people are wondering how they existed. He even does things like usually like a top five for the month every month, and that again is usually just five random news articles of things that either came out that month that were just really strange and odd that these were featured articles or just strange and odd happenings in the world that happened that month or even things that had just recently been touched back upon that had come out before. So, again, something that's very, very interesting to listen to and check out. Again, little bits and pieces of everything there with this group here. And it's really fun and interesting and, of course, most of all, scary and mysterious.
Very nice. So, I'm going to stay on a little bit of the unsolved mysteries or talking about true crimes. I have to go with Coffee House Crime.
Yes, that was going to be one of the ones I was going to talk about, but...
So the host, Adrian, is actually an English YouTuber who always will put up videos about true crimes, strange internet-based cases, and, of course, unsolved mysteries. Now, he's pretty mysterious himself because no one knows what his last name is. He just is Adrian or Coffeehouse Crimes.
Yes.
So a little air of mystery. You never know. Maybe he might have committed a crime at one point. Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
Or maybe this is his community service format.
You never know. Could be.
Like, you gotta make YouTube videos. It's like, God damn, it takes forever.
But yeah, he actually does very well on it. Like, just like how I mentioned with Rob and you mentioned with Mr. Ballin, just the depth of the research and what he's covering about all these different crimes.
Yeah, and he does go way really in depth into it. And that's one thing he does, his research on it.
Definitely. I mean, just like the disturbing case of Izumi Muto, the killer alpha male. Which I need to actually watch that one. So the killer alpha male, that's the case of Lyndon McLeod. No relation to Connor McLeod.
Because he's not from the Clan McLeod.
Exactly.
The Highlands of Scotland. There shall be one. Only one.
Now, I did watch the delusional case of Elliot Rodger one night. That one, my God.
Yeah, that was the start of the term incel, yes. Yeah. Elliot Rodger. Was it the perfect gentleman? Or?
Yep. So, yeah, because he called himself the Supreme Gentleman.
Something like that, yeah.
Like, just a sidetrack real quick.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we do have a lot of individuals that would be considered incels. Yeah. And gentlemen and ladies, because there are female incels. If you are not with someone, if you're not in a relationship... It isn't the end of the world.
Yes.
You do not need someone in your life to make your life complete. The entire idea of a relationship is to have someone in your life that complements your life. It isn't about, oh, you know, I must have someone. I can't be alone. You're not lonely. Okay, yeah, you may be lonely. You may want... You know, compassion. You may want intimacy. But if you don't have those things, it isn't the end of the world. You have friends. You have family. You have interests. You have things that can enrich your life.
Like bacon.
Exactly, like bacon.
Bacon is delicious.
That it is. But you do not need anyone to make your life worthwhile. That is what you do. And besides, getting into a relationship is something that sometimes happens. It isn't, you don't have to constantly seek it. Take time, work on yourself, become the person that you want to be in this life. And before you know it, the right person is going to show up when you least expect it. And things will be okay. You don't have to take extreme measures like killing people because you can't find a partner. And that's what the killer virgin one was pretty much about. Yes. But anyways, going back into our subject.
Yeah, that's enough TED Talk for today.
Yeah. You know, I only do one TED Talk segment like every 5 or 6 episodes. Actually, that's pretty much correct. Yeah. Unless if I do like an actual affirmation or self-help one.
Ah.
Anyways.
Confirmation, gotcha.
Yep. Your turn.
All right. So that was about Coffeehouse Crimes, in case people were wondering. So my next one then is kind of a almost similar subject. And he's a little of a combination of Coffeehouse Crimes and Scary Mysteries and Mr. Ball and all in one. And that's Lazy Masquerade.
Yep.
So another English gentleman who actually lives in Japan with his fiance, who's Japanese, But he is very in depth and likes to check out things that are mysterious and kind of creepypasta-ish, kind of occultish, and just even anything dark and mystery things as well. He does a lot of stories of like things that, you know, people haven't really looked at, or just weird, interesting things that happen, weird mysteries that are unsolved, cryptid stuff, top 10 things, random stories from around the world, different urban legends, and, you know, a little bit of everything. And he's very entertaining to listen to, and he does kind of like to question some things. And, you know, again, he also does like segments about the times where the last photos taken before tragedy happens, or videos taken before tragedy happens, things like that, where he's just like, this was, you know, happy looking time, and but this is like right before, you know, X thing happens, and, you know, it's just a freak moment that happened, or even kind of like butterfly effect things, where some people would talk, well, he'll tell stories from other people's stories that people sent him about how, you know, they were doing one thing, and all of a sudden they got that weird feeling, no, I don't want to do this now, and then they find out, you know, day or so later that what they were supposed to do, something happened there, and they probably would have been killed in that situation. So all just weird little mysterious and spooky and questionable things of what happened or what could have happened and things like that.
So, wow, that one is actually very interesting.
Yes.
Now, hold on 1 second here. Okay, there it is. So, the next one I have to go with is Plagued Moth.
Plagued Moth, huh?
So, this one is not really for the faint of heart, because this individual will cover some crazy, crazy stuff. So, let me bring it up. Because I want to give you some examples here. So, Ripper the Dark Web Boogeyman. So, talking about illegal gore.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, a couple of weeks ago, covered some of the stuff relating to the Robb Elementary shooting and had video footage up on it. He covers a lot of, like, dark web related items. He also talked about the song Daddy from Korn and how dark and disturbing that was. Also, three gore myths and urban legends. He talked about the Dark Forest. You know, the
Japanese one.
Yeah. He also showed the Guerrero flaying, the death of father and son, where they pretty much filleted them with machetes. Like, this is very, very dark stuff. So if you're into dark web research, if you're into, like, the more macabre-style videos, this is the individual that you want to look up. And once again, it is Plagued Moth. So, Monkey, next one for you, man.
Well, that kind of went a little south for me there. I have just one more here on my list, but I can always look up a little bit more here. But
yeah,
the last one I had on my list here, because you stole my coffee house crimes. You stole it. You stole my coffee. again, this is more along the creepypasta lines, and this is one of the ones that actually got me more into checking out for, like, the dark, mysterious things was Mr. Creeps. So all of his content are actually based off of creepypasta stories. So as people might know or might not know, creepypastas are usually stories, not necessarily anything embedded in truth, but they're just stories that usually deal with either dark or creepy, mysterious things, usually something kind of macabre or occultish, and it's just, you know, just a really dark story that they're telling. And some of the videos can be, you know, as short as 15, 10 minutes long. Some of them could be about an hour long. Sometimes someone gets that writing bug and they wrote multiple parts and made a whole long, long story that should have been written into a novel. And he basically will just get these creepypastas off of wherever, and he will read them off. And he has a very ominous voice when he's reading them, so it's not like he's trying to sound super creepy or he's just trying to sound monotone, but he's got a very interesting voice to go along with it, and it's just that storytelling method that he uses, and it's just phenomenal and fun sometimes, sometimes interesting, sometimes makes you kind of go, I don't want to sleep with my lights off tonight feelings, so just because of what the story content is, and you think about it, like, okay, because most creepypastas are semi-rooted in, they'll give it some kind of feel of something that some people might feel familiar with, like a certain town name or a certain area or just a certain thing that happened, and they're like, wait, did this really happen or is this just a story? And that's what makes creepypastas just that, quote-unquote, creepy.
Exactly, and you know, with creepypastas, it really does blur the line between what is real and what isn't, depending on what it is. I mean, like Ben Drowns.
Yeah.
I mean, that one, I mean, gained a lot of traction. There's a possibility. You know, there's a lot of them. Now, my final pick for right now is more on the lines of ASMR.
Uh-huh.
And I have to talk about Jim Chi. Now, Jim Chi is a ASMR content creator, and he does different cosplays, so to speak. Like, he did, recently, 2 weeks ago, he did one about Homelander from The Boys. He did one about Jack the Ripper, vampires, cyberpunk. Like, he'll take, like, different subjects and different, like, properties and do an ASMR video with them. One of my favorite ones that he did was actually when Cyberpunk came out.
Oh.
He did one for that, and it was very good. So some of them can be a little lighthearted. Some of them can be very geek-related, especially if you like certain things like fantasy, horror. I mean, he did one called Potions Class with Snape, where he actually dressed and sounded like Snape from the movies.
Sounded like Snape here, Harry Potter,
so,
Mr. Potter.
So, and a lot of his horror-based one and occult-based ones, I think people will definitely love because he has such range with everything he does. So definitely it's Jim Chi ASMR if you're looking for that page. He does weekly uploads on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you ever get a chance, check out some of his stuff. I think you'll actually enjoy it. So we're going to take a real quick break, and whenever we come back, we're actually just going to discuss some more spooky based items, you know, whether it's music, movies. We do still have to redo a review of the four movies or three movies that we watched, so we'll actually dive into that a little bit and we'll explain a little bit later. All right, we'll be right back. Thank you. And we are back. Once again, this is Cheshire's Place, a Looking Glass in Logical Madness. We are your host, the melodious one, Mr. Cheshire, and the man, the myth, the legend, Monkey. So, we know that this is going to be somewhat of a short episode, because, I mean, we just talked about some of our favorite creepy, spooky YouTube content creators and what they do. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit more about spooky season, man.
Yes, spooky season is awesome.
I mean, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to?
Candy.
Of course. It's all about the candy.
Dang right.
But I think we can also talk about some upcoming horror movies that are going to be coming out.
Ah, yes. Including the wonderful Winnie the Pooh movie.
Yes, we have
Blood and Honey.
All right, we have to talk about Blood and Honey.
Yes.
Now, for those who don't know, mind you, for those who don't know, because it's been all out, Disney lost the rights.
Well,
the rights subsided.
Yeah, subsided into the public domain.
Yep, which means anyone can create anything relating to Winnie the Pooh. Yep. It could be a cartoon, it could be a documentary, it could be a horror movie. So we have to talk about Blood and Honey. Now, the synopsis of this is actually very intriguing, which Christopher Robin pretty much grew up and left the Hundred Acre Woods. In which, seeing how he left, Pooh and Piglet and all of the friends of Hundred Acre Woods went more back to their animalistic sides, becoming ravenous. So we take a look at the actual trailer for it, where Christopher is walking into the Hundred Acre Woods with his fiance after college, wanting to introduce her to Pooh, Piglet, Eeyore, and the entire cast. Well, lo and behold, the Hundred Acre Woods isn't what it used to be.
Yes.
Eeyore is dead. Mm-hmm. Which, by the trailer, they actually show Pooh and Piglet eating Eeyore. And it becomes an old school slasher where Pooh and Piglet hunt down Christopher Robin, his fiance, and also a group of young teenage girls that are staying in a cabin close to the Hundred Acre Woods. Now, looking at the design of Pooh and Piglet, what do you think, man?
It is very reminiscent of kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? The old Mr. Pig stories.
Yeah.
It looks like. Cause they look almost more like people in masks than actual animals. At least just even going off of the production poster here. If you look at it, it looks almost like someone wearing a Winnie the Pooh mask and is like, you know, big bulky guy wearing it, but
yeah,
it's just all around like weird and creepy, yet almost humorous looking, and that's probably what sets it out as, you know, this is like way too weird and goofy looking to be scary. But then when you start reading it and watching it, you'll feel the horror aspect to it.
So, and also like Piglet. Now, everyone remembers Piglet from like the books and from the Disney like properties being small, sweet, innocent. No, this dude looks like a razorback boar with the tusk. Both Winnie the Pooh and, you know, Piglet are wearing like coveralls, almost like that Deliverance type feel to it. You know, lumberjack, murderous, you know, slasher.
Or Dale Tucker versus Evil.
Yeah, there you go.
Even though they're supposed to be kind of just like oblivious to everything, but they think that they're the murderers because backwoods nobody's and wearing overalls, and the one guy kind of being almost dumbstruck by the one girl, so they think he's not all there because he's just staring at her.
Yeah. So overall, I know it's supposed to be coming out real soon.
Let's see what the thing says here. Uh, I don't see a release date on it yet.
They don't? Not yet? I know that they've been teasing it. They have the commercials out, the trailers.
This first trailer was released August 31st, 2022, but it does not say the actual movie street date at all.
Wow, that's kind of weird.
Which is kind of crazy. Also, the interesting turnaround period for this is they actually started development on this movie in May of this year. So
really?
So May 24th is when they made the announcement that they are making this movie. So, again, since it went public domain at the beginning of the year, they couldn't really start it before then.
Right.
So, if you really look at it, it's only been about a six-month turnaround period, not even that, for them to get it all filmed. So you can expect it to be kind of cheaply made, but it still looks very, very fun and awesome in my eyes.
Yes, definitely. So, we do have to talk about Orphan First Kill.
Orphan First Kill.
So, for those who are fans of the movie Orphan, talking about Esther, who...
Yes.
Yeah, because remember, she is actually older than what she actually is, yep. But she looks extremely young. This is pretty much the prequel to it. And they actually got the actress that played Esther in the first Orphan movie to reprise her role. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she does look a little bit older, but they actually used some computer effects to make her a little bit younger here and there. But overall, there's a lot of people clamoring about this movie. Mm-hmm. So I actually had a chance to watch the trailer for it. And you know what? Yeah. It's going to be pretty good. It's a good psychological horror.
Yep. And you got to also remember the original Orphan movie was loosely based off of a true story of where a woman who looked very, very young was being told, everyone was being told that she was a daughter of this one other lady and her husband, and then she ended up, you know, killing the husband and I think the other kids, and she actually turned out to really actually be like the sister or cousin of the girl, and
yeah.
Other things were going weird.
So we also have to talk about Pearl.
Pearl.
So Pearl is a sequel to the movie X. Now X is when a group of adult entertainment stars went to this house. And there was a couple there, mm-hmm. a man and a woman, and the woman, like older individuals, mm-hmm. the woman started killing off the cast. Mm. Now, this is pretty much a sequel to it, where Pearl, she has dreams and admirations of being a Hollywood star, and there's a lot of pieces in the trailer where she's daydreaming about being a star, and she starts killing people.
Yep, and again, Pearl is the name of the older woman who is actually played by the one of the actual writers of at least of the sequel,
yep.
Mia Goth. So,
it's actually going to be a pretty interesting one. Then, of course,
That's actually in theaters right now. Actually, in our local
really,
theater.
Oh, we may have to check it out. Maybe whenever it comes out on video.
It's showing today at 7:30 p.m. and 10 p.m. tonight.
We're a little bit late.
Yeah. That sounds like work.
Yeah.
Extra work. I haven't seen X yet, so. But then again, I'm thinking of the other movie, which is based up in the anime series.
Yeah. So, of course, with Spooky Season, we do have to talk about Halloween.
Yes.
Because the final movie, Halloween Ends, is coming up.
Supposedly.
Supposedly the final Halloween movie. Mm-hmm. At least we know it's going to be the final one with Jamie Lee Curtis. So, this is pretty much an end of a series. So, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I would say this much here. The unfortunate issue with the movies is that they've been kind of off and on rewriting itself. And the canon is kind of a little confuzzled. I would say it will be an interesting end to the series, and especially since it's Jamie Lee Curtis continually reprising her role as Laurie, I believe.
Yep.
And it's just a good way that it finally will end, at least with the initial two characters of Laurie and Michael, as opposed to a couple of the times where they did try to rewrite it where, oh, Laurie got killed in this one, and now so-and-so's
the psychic niece.
Yes, and this one here, and then this one here is like...
okay, I will admit, the Halloween series did become convoluted, and, big time.
And it's just a good way to end the series. Now, again, granted, just because they're ending it doesn't mean that someone else isn't going to continue to do remakes. I know Rob Zombie's remakes, so a couple people had some bad mixed reactions to it. I kind of liked the feel of it, at least the first one, but...
The second one was kind of off. Yeah.
So it's still a possibility of it being remade. Again, that all depends on when that falls into quote-unquote public domain, kind of like with the Winnie the Pooh franchise, whether how much that goes into craziness.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it ends. And, you know, it's a good way to put it that it's ends and began with the same people, and I believe that the gentleman playing Michael Myers, a.k.a. The Shape, is the same guy who was playing him in the original movies as well.
Yes.
And that's kind of crazy because he was also involved in a lot of small production things initially. And if I remember correctly, he was actually one of the people part of the production crew that worked on the original Back to the Future movies too.
Yes, yes. Yep. So also we have the movie called Smile.
Ah, yes.
Where Smile. A woman is being haunted by a demon that takes over the bodies of individuals. And how you notice the demon... he or she has a very creepy, ominous smile.
Kind of like that video I showed you on Friday.
Yeah, no kidding. The Pinkie Pie one? Good God.
Davey Dave, go.
But, okay, I'm going to tell you something about this movie and about, like, Pearl and a lot of the others that are coming out that are just very spontaneous at this point because you see trailers for them real quick. They're trying to pump them out for Halloween and everything. Some of these, I'm a little iffy about.
Well, it's like some of them are kind of like, is it really scary or is it just suspenseful? That's what the thing is too. And a lot of people kind of convolute both of them as one thing. And it's like, not really. Like, movie we watched last year, Malignant.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people were like, oh, it looks kind of scary. It's like, not really. We watched it. It was more like suspense. And again, we like to look for the plot holes or the pre-information plots that's going to be looping back at near the end for the twist, you know.
Exactly.
No pun intended with that movie specifically. But but yeah, it's like it was more of a weird suspense movie. Yes, it was kind of a little jumpy, but I wouldn't call it a straight-out horror or a slasher because it was kind of a targeted thing. And that's one of those things a lot of people kind of get convoluted in. Some of these movies, like Smile, I'm going to say it looks probably more like it's a suspense movie than a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's going to be probably a lot of little jump scares in there, but not a lot of, you know, feel context to it or killing, like, say, in, like, the Halloween movies where Michael Myers was on, you know, just a slash fest or Jason in Friday the 13th movies was a slash fest.
Yeah.
That was more horror. I consider that more horror than I consider, you know, the Blair Witch Project movie was more of a suspense movie, but people say it's kind of a horror thing, so.
Right. So, now, some of these movies have already came out that we talked about. I mean, actually, Orphan First Kill came out August 19th. Yeah. So, we do have to talk about The Invitation, which came out August 26th. You know, this is the one where the woman was invited to a wedding in England, and lo and behold, she finds out that she's going to be the bride, and the entire party is vampires.
Yeah, or at least they don't say it's vampires, but if you watch the trailer, it's kind of implied.
It's highly implied. I mean,
very, very highly, very implied.
Now, I don't know what I think about this movie. It you know, I guess it's supposed to be horror, but I wouldn't even call it suspense, really. Yeah.
It's kind of suspense because of the, I guess you could say, the anxiety-inducing it looks like it has in the trailers.
Right.
Where, you know, obviously it's taxing on the main character, so the main character being the main protagonist, it makes you feel that you are in that position or you are sympathetic or empathetic to that character, and that's why it might feel kind of taxing to you.
Right. Now, next one we have to talk about, because I'm actually going off the Cinema Blend list, and there are some that I didn't even know about. Now, Barbarian is actually out. It came out September 9th, And you know,
Tuzzle saw that. He said last week, and he said it was really good.
Yeah. So this is about a individual named Tess who books a rental home while she's traveling for an interview. But whenever she arrives, a character played by Bill Skarsgård.
Of course, you got to get a Viking to play a barbarian. Got it.
Yep.
Norseman.
He claims he's already staying there. Tess decides to spend the night there, but there's a lot of things that occur while she stays there. Mm-hmm. So, I've heard some good reviews about it. You know, I know quite a few people that have went to it and they loved it. So, I'm interested in seeing it. What do you think, Monkey?
It looks interesting. I feel it sounds kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, kind of clickbaity, the title.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like it's going to be something more like medieval based, but it's kind of a more natural, a current day thing. Or it's like basically like an Airbnb thing. So it's like, I don't know. It kind of sounds, eh. I mean, it has interesting plot lines and the cast is interesting. Obviously, Bill Skarsgård, like you said, and Justin Long is in it as well.
And, yeah, and he plays a very mysterious role to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's Justin Long. You really can't go too wrong with him being in a movie.
Yeah, and of course, he obviously has a very good range, even if he gets more associated with his comedic roles, but he can do the horror drama stuff like he did in Jeepers Creepers, you know?
And speaking of Jeepers Creepers, Jeepers Creepers Reborn comes out September 19th.
Yep, it's been 20 years since last time, or 23 years.
Yep. Now, granted, the entire franchise has been under some scrutiny due to allegations and cases relating to, it was one of the producers or directors, due to sexual allegations. But this is actually supposed to be starting a new trilogy. Mm. And it'll be directed by Timo Villanueva. I don't want to butcher the name. But anyways, so this is going to be out in theaters from September 19th to the 21st as a special 3-night fan event per Screen Media Films. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be pretty interesting on how they do it.
Yeah.
Then we have Don't Worry, Darling, which is going to be coming out September 23rd.
Yeah.
So this is more of a thriller, and it has Florence Pugh, Harry Styles, Chris Pine, Gemma Chan, and Nick Kroll.
Oh, don't forget Olivia Wilde.
Yeah. You might want to, you have some information about this one.
You can't forget about that one, because apparently this movie is probably more well heard about because of some of the background antics going on in it than the actual movie itself. The fact that Florence Poe or Pug or whatever her name is, apparently she said she didn't even want to do any of the actual, what's it called? The marketing.
Yeah.
She didn't want to do any of the marketing things with it. That just kind of shows how little faith she has in the movie, even though a lot of people who have seen the movie, like a lot of the critics say she did an excellent job.
Yeah.
And apparently that's the only good thing that came out of this movie. Is that's the only good thing they said about it, is that she did an excellent job. Everything else, a lot of backstage issues, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde having said some things that kind of contradicted this and that, even to the point where she actually claimed that at one point she was wanting to let go of Florence Pugh from the movie, because I guess she's part of the production crew as well, and she's the director, that's what it was. And apparently Florence Pugh brought back the receipts with the text messages and showed it from Olivia Wilde saying, please don't leave us, we need you, you're the main thing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, and then apparently some, I guess you could say some interactions between Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde apparently is one of the things that a lot of people have been talking about, which is one of the other reasons why a lot of people have been talking about the movies because of that.
So what's going on between Olivia and Harry Styles?
To say the least, apparently some, I guess you could say, bedroom antics, the best way to say.
Ooh.
Yes, even though apparently Olivia Wilde is technically still married to, I believe, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
But they are supposedly going through a divorce. And
so technically they're separated.
Right. But they are still technically married.
Yeah.
It's like the whole antic of, you know, you're trying to wash the pan while it's still hot. So.
Exactly. Which we could probably do an entire episode on the Jason Sudeikis, Olivia Wilde stuff because.
You probably said I couldn't. I don't pay attention too much to that crap. It's the only reason why you even heard about this movie.
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, Olivia was at a movie thing, and she was actually given the paperwork for the divorce.
So. Honest. So she got
Jason David Frank.
Jason David Frank, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and also as a side note, the other thing apparently about the premiere of the movie is where the whole cast obviously is on the red carpet thing, and apparently it's to the point where you can obviously tell that Florence Pugh doesn't want any interaction with Olivia Wilde. They're not even anywhere near touching each other. She's at least a good couple steps away from Olivia Wilde at all times.
Yeah.
In all the pictures, so you can tell there is definitely some animosity there.
So
I say Florence would probably kill her.
Oh, Florence would.
Yes. I mean, I don't know who she is. And the only thing I really remember about Olivia Wilde is I think she, wasn't she the Psylocke in the X-Men movies recently?
No, that's Olivia Munn.
Same difference. They're both
Olivia's.
Wild ones.
No, Wild Munn's one mild. No, do not confuse Olivia Munn because, remember, Olivia Munn was actually originally part of G4.
Yeah.
She was part of the original G4 cast.
Yeah.
So, all right, now we got to talk about My Best Friend's Exorcism coming out September 30th.
That just sounds like a funny movie.
It's based on a book by the same name. It takes place in 1988, where Abby and her best friend Gretchen become possessed by a demon. No, sorry, where Abby's best friend Gretchen becomes possessed by a demon. And she's determined to help her out, and she finds assistance in a mall exorcist to get the demon out. So this is more of a comedy.
That's what it sounds like. That's what I said. Just the name of the movie sounds like a comedy.
Yeah.
There's an exorcist at the mall.
And this will actually be available at on Amazon Prime.
Of course it would be.
Maybe it's one of those ones that we're going to have to check out eventually.
Well, September 30th, 2022.
I mean, we are overdue for another movie night.
Distributed by Amazon Studios. Okay.
Let's see. Oh, I knew I forgot one.
Uh-oh.
The Hellraiser movie.
Ah, yes.
We got to talk about the Hellraiser movie.
I saw a Hellraiser movie already.
But for those who have been keeping up with horror movies, Hulu is producing a Hellraiser movie. Now, it isn't a soft it isn't a reboot. It isn't really a sequel. It's pretty much its own thing. But the wonderful thing about it is that Clive Barker, the author of the entire Hellraiser mythos, has been very involved. And he's actually a producer for the movie. And David Bruckner, who did The Night House and The Ritual and quite a few other projects, is going to be
the Hellraiser movies.
Yep. He is going to be the director. So, and there's going to be a change to it. Uh-huh. As Doug Bradley played Pinhead originally, now we have a new Pinhead, or a Hell Priest, or should I say Hell Priestess. Jamie Clayton from Sense 8 will be playing the Hell Priestess. Now, mind you, for those who were, okay, I'm just going to put it this way. For those who are trying to gatekeep this movie, mind you, it's fantasy. Two, the Cenobites are androgynous. They really don't have much in terms of male-female, like, distinction in the books. They can be whatever the creators want to be. I'm actually excited to see Jamie Clayton take on this role. Mainly because Clive Barker gave his seal of approval. I'm excited to see this. And it's coming out on Hulu. So what are your thoughts on it, Monkey?
Well, I'm a little torn. Again, I was a fan of the original Hellraiser movies. And much like it was the Halloween movies, some of them became kind of convoluted. The storyline did not keep pace continuum. It shifted here and there to whatever randomness is. This does seem like it'd be interesting. The best thing I would say that I would give it a very big thumbs up on if they did it is if they actually had kind of a mix-mash, where at times it would be Jamie Clayton as Pinhead, and at other times it'd be, what's his name, Brent Clayton? The original guy that played Pinhead.
Doug Bradley.
Doug Bradley, thank you. If they would pop in back and forth some, and that would make it even more like that weird, obviously you're in that weird mind warp thing of, right. of everything else. That would make it very, very awesome. Now, again, maybe they are just everything as just Jamie Clayton. Maybe she is. Maybe it is going to be that. Maybe it is going to be a full takeover, Jamie Clayton being the new Pinhead, which I have mixed feelings again on it, just because of it is that weird, the canon is not continuous, and it doesn't mix things up.
Have you seen the last two Hellraiser movies?
That's why I said the canon is not very continuous.
I mean, pretty much after four, after Hellraiser 4 Bloodlines, things went to the bloody wayside because New Line Cinema wanted to keep the rights to it, and they were putting out movies.
It's like Puppet Master.
Yeah. But,
where one movie is one thing, and the next movie all of a sudden is like, oh, they're not evil. They were made by this guy who was trying to escape from the Nazis. And now this guy is the creator, and they're just killing everything just because he doesn't like people. And then now this guy is the creator, and his soul is in this puppet, or is in all the puppets, and they're together to make him come back.
The thing is with the Hellraiser movies, I mean, yeah, they wanted to keep the licensing rights. Yeah. So they had to crank out movies. But the big thing is...
Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Now, the big thing is, relating to those movies, a lot of the movies were scripted to be different. They just decided, oh, hey, we're going to tailor this original script for a completely opposite type movie and just make it a Hellraiser movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, Hellraiser Deader, there's quite a few of them. Pretty much.
An Aspis movie.
Yeah. Like, they were all supposed to be some, like, its own separate thing, but...
And they just put back to Hellraiser because, like, well, yeah. We got a script. We want to keep the license. Let's make it Hellraiser.
Yeah. Now, some of the movies, if Deader wasn't a Hellraiser movie, it would have been a little more interesting, honestly. Hellworld was supposed to be its own separate thing. It was more about a live-action video game type scenario.
Hellraiser Judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I'm excited to see what's going to happen with this one, honestly. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we already talked about Halloween Ends. Then there's Pray for the Devil, which is October 28th. It was previously called The Devil's Light, which follows a 25-year-old nun who believes performing exorcisms are her higher calling. Now, I saw the trailer for this, and it's actually very interesting. I'm almost willing to watch it whenever it comes out on digital. I don't think I'd go out to the theaters for it, but looking at the premise of it, think of, like, The Exorcist, just with a nun instead of, like, the priest.
There's already a book / movie called that.
Yeah, true.
It's called Warrior Nun Ariella.
Yeah, but this nun doesn't go around with swords and just butt-kicking... You know, demons. She's close trying to just accept them. But also, we have the animated movie Wendell and Wild, which comes from Jordan Peele, and it's actually voiced by Key and Peele. This one's actually interesting. It's about two demon brothers who must face off against their arch nemesis, who is a nun by the name of Sister Helly, and her two goth teens, Kat and Raoul. Now, the demons are trying to find their way out of hell, so they're trying to entice a young kid to let them out. I'm iffy on it. Don't get me wrong, I like Key and Peele whenever they do comedy. Mm-hmm. But since Jordan started going into horror, you know, Get Out, Us, Nope, which we didn't even talk about Nope.
Yeah, just because it was a Nope.
Granted, the new Candyman movie was actually pretty good, but but, you know, I'm a bit iffy on this one. Maybe it'll be, like, funny. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's funny, yeah, I'll go for it. And then we have other movies coming out past spooky season.
Actually, like, there is
one more
I just saw here. Well,
all right, what'd you got?
I know if it's coming out during spooky season, but it's very interesting. I just saw it kind of in the list of things as of related searches here.
Okay.
Dark Harvest. Sounds really interesting.
Oh.
It looks like obviously kind of a lower probably tier made movie because it's made by MGM.
Yep.
So it's not big production company. Well, not anymore. MGM used to be a big one, but.
Yeah, back in the days.
Yeah, but actually, just the synopsis of this is pretty interesting sounding. It's every fall in a small Midwestern town, a supernatural specter named Sawtooth Jack arises from the cornfields and approaches the town's church, where violent gangs of young boys hungrily await their chance to confront the legendary nightmare in an annual harvest rite of life and death. Richie Shepherd lives in the shadow of his big brother, who won last year's October prize, to get his ticket out of town to prove himself and join his brother. Richie pairs up with the relentless dreamer Kelly Haynes, who will do whatever it takes to escape the dead in town. Against the rules and the odds, Richie and Kelly decide to hunt down the legendary nightmare to win the run and their freedom together. So essentially, what it sounds like is kind of like this town is essentially kind of like a lockdown town where they can't leave it, and only the person who wins in the fight against this creature, the Sawtooth Jack, is allowed to leave town. So, sounds interesting.
You know, it almost sounds like a horror version of, like, you know, the Hunger Games.
Pretty much, but except for it's to escape this area as opposed to kind of, you know, just you know, get whatever prize or be free from being executed or whatever their thing is or makes better for their specific region. This is kind of like a, like I said, it's like a lottery more than anything else.
Right.
Except for to win the lottery, it's not just luck or chance, but your own physical prowess has to be involved in it.
So it's like a mix of Jeepers Creepers because this creature comes out every Halloween. Yep.
Well, it's essentially like, well, what's the best way to describe it?
Regardless, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
as well.
It sounds interesting. And like I said, it probably. Just the, well, the cover, if you look it up, I don't know if you looked it up yet, but Dark Harvest.
It says, yeah, let me look at, yeah, let me bring it
2022
up.
2022 film, obviously. The.
Do we have an actual date for it to come out?
I'm looking, see. Of course not, I didn't have it.
All right.
Let's see.
Going on IMDb for it. On here, on IMDb, they say that...
It should be out already, September 9th, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But they also call the monster October Boy, too.
Well, I think the book is...
I think they took some liberties.
They flipped it some here and there. Sawtooth Jack, October Boy.
Huh. There's one critic review on it. Let's find out. Actually, never mind. There's no. Ah. Nope. The popularity of it, according to IMDb, is actually kind of low.
Well, again, it's not a. It hasn't been highly, you know, talked about, so obviously it's.
Right.
Still got a. Pretty decent looking thing, and then, like I said, just seeing it in the list of things, yeah, even just the cover of it is, you know, looks interesting. Looks like it'd be, you know, an interesting watch at least. Probably better than some of the other movies that are coming out right now. Were really, really spooky, weird, just because they're messed up and wrong,
right?
But not because they were supposed to be scared, but just because they are. But yeah, so that would be that one. And just seeing if there's anything else I saw on the list here.
I mean, there's quite a few other movies that'll be coming out.
Yeah.
You know, we have quite a few that will be coming out early 2023 that we could discuss, but we're mainly focusing in this year's spooky season. Mm. You know, because there's not only those, but, I mean, we could talk about horror TV series that will be coming out, like Marvel's Werewolf by Night.
Yes.
Which I'm, which has the appearance of Man-Thing.
Man-Thing and Elsa.
Elsa Bloodstone.
Bloodstone, yep.
Now, people are wondering if Moon Knight is going to be part of this, because Moon Knight and Werewolf by Night have some history.
Right.
Also, Blade. Yep. Has some history with Werewolf by Night. I mean, they're part of the Midnight Suns. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that one. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for it because, you know, going into that horror aspect of Marvel, and they always had some good horror-based comics. You know, the entire Tomb of Dracula series that they had was amazing back in the day. So, I mean, there's a lot that can happen. I mean, we could even talk about horror video games that are coming out. And there's one in particular that just came out, actually, on the 15th. Huh. And that's Metal Hellsinger.
Eh.
Like, okay, Monkey doesn't really like first-person
games. It's not that I don't like them, it's just I can't play them. That's what happens when you get stabbed in the eye. It doesn't work very well.
True. But the premise of Metal Hellsinger is pretty much you're a demon known as the Unknown, whose voice was taken away by the judge, and for all intents and purposes, the judge is the devil and ruler of hell, and it's your job as the Unknown to get your voice back. And this is a very unique game because it's a first-person rhythm shooter, which is a brand new concept. So pretty much you're going around killing demons, and for every hit that you do, it has to be on the beat of the music to actually get more points and more power-ups and more upgrades. And I got to see, like, some of the play by some of the playthrough on it. And I also heard the, like, the original soundtrack for it. And my God, if you're a metal fan, you would love this. Think of it like Doom with, like, a little bit of Guitar Hero aesthetics with it, because you're playing with the beat. So it is out for Steam, PS5, and of course Xbox Series X or Xbox Series S. I wish I had a PS5 to play this right now, because looking at it, it's amazing. But anyways, Monkey.
Yes.
I think we can actually wrap it up for the night.
There is one other quick thing I would like to touch on here before
go for it.
So, again, this is kind of a little throwback to what we were talking about earlier with the YouTube channels, but it's a kind of just a all-around spooky thing, theme thing, which there is a YouTube channel called SCP Foundation Explained, or SCP Explained.
Yes, yes.
So, this is based off of the SCP Foundation. Kind of like creepypastas and stuff like that. It started on 4chan back in the day. Now, for those not familiar with it, SCP stands for Special Containment Procedures. And it's kind of loosely like based off of a almost like X-File-ish theme to it. So what it is it's a fictional secret organization that documents the capturing of different paranormal, supernatural, mysterious, horror, sci-fi, urban fantasy type creatures and items and objects. So the SCP Explained is kind of like an animated video of animations of different quote-unquote other SCP objects and items, because they don't give them actual names. They just refer to them as SCP item number, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And a quick small little list here, and this is on Wikipedia, and of course there is an actual website, which is a collaborative writing of all this stuff, but it's almost like it's more of a like a file of all the stories, so it makes it feel like you're looking through and reading files from people. But on the page, it gives a couple of examples of some of the SCPs that they talk about, and of course it is like a collective shared universe where they will reference other ones that they've talked about before in other stories. So just a quick rundown of a couple of them. SCP number 055 is an unknown object that causes anyone who examines it to forget its various characteristics, thus making it undescribable except in terms of what it is not. So whatever it is, you look at it, you turn away from it, you don't remember what exactly it is, but you can say, it's not a toaster. It's not a car. But I can't remember anything else about it. Yeah, so that's one of the items. Another one is kind of almost loosely based off of a old, kind of like an old urban legend and mystery slash different phenomenons, like of different stories. A lot based off of in Japan with the staircases. So SCP-087 is kind of loosely based off of that, which is it is a staircase that appears to descend infinitely and significantly inhabits any light within its space, or inhibits, excuse me. The staircase is inhabited by SCP-087-1, which is described as a face without a mouth, pupils, or nostrils. So that's another one of the items. Another one is SCP-108, which is an old Nazi bunker system and is only accessible through a portal found in a woman's nose. So just random weird things like that. SCP number 173 is a humanoid statue composed of rebar, concrete, and Krylon spray paint. It is immobile while directly observed, but it attacks people and breaks their neck when the line of sight with it is broken. It is extremely fast to the point where it can move multiple meters while the observer is blinking. SCP number 294, a coffee vending machine that can dispense anything that does or can exist in liquid form, including, on occasion, abstract concepts. Regardless of the properties of the substance chosen, the machine's polystyrene cups appear to suffer no damage from substances dispensed from them. So it's like anyone who's using it can say, like, oh, I want battery acid, and it will dispense battery acid, but the cup won't be affected by it. But if you touch it, the liquid, obviously, you'll get the sick burns.
Right.
Another one is SCP number 426. So this just shows you how many of these items people have created. One of the actual later ones is actually SCP number 3008. I'm going to talk about that one in a second because that one's just great. But SCP 426 is a toaster that can only be referred to in the first person. So you can't call it a toaster. You got to call it by its name. Whatever the toaster
is. Does it even have a name?
Apparently, the toaster has a name, but you have to refer to it in first person.
Hey, Bob, can you cook this bagel for me?
Okay, and now, so SCP number 3008 is an IKEA retail store that has an infinite interior space with no outer physical boundaries, causing prospective customers to be trapped inside the building after they become lost within its associated pocket dimension. Designated as SCP 3008-1, it contains a rudimentary civilization formed by those creatures who were first to survive and defend themselves against hostile creatures known as SCP-3008-2, which are tall, faceless humanoid wearing IKEA employees uniforms that become violently aggressive towards all humans during the dimension's simulation of night, in which its lights go out. So, again, there's lots of, like, little interesting, weird things like that. There are other creatures and whatnot and things in this stories. As I recall correctly, I think SCP stands for something else other than just special containment procedures. I think it was like something like contain,
yeah,
and process or something like that also is one of the other things it was supposed to mean. But I can't find the exact other thing of it. But it's really interesting, these pages. And like I said, it's kind of spooky. Some of them are just weird and just creepy, like that weird statue made out of paint and rebar and concrete. There's other things like the SCP Explained site with the on YouTube has a lot of really interesting little stories about different ones. And I believe there was another thing in one of them that says that SCP-173 was supposed to have a supposed partner, and that's mentioned in like one of the other ones that they were supposedly a partner of SCP-173. But they got separated, and so they try to keep them apart, because if they ever are together, it's basically a complete disaster.
Right.
Because one of them can attack you while you're staring at it, and the other one can't attack you while staring at it. So it's, like, just so messed up and discombobulated.
So, and I know on YouTube there's a lot of different, you know, websites for SCP.
Yes.
And they even did, like, an animated what-if battle scenario, like death battle, which, you know, SCP files would win.
Yeah.
You know, SCP-001 being pretty much like Zeus and having all of Zeus's powers and everything. So, you know what? Maybe we should do that as an episode. We should take a look at all the different cryptids that they have and do like a mock like death battle type deal. Like, honestly, because you have to think. Okay, so, folks, next week we were supposed to do classic geek movies.
No, no, here's the thing you do. You know, if this is a topic you might be interested in, hit us up at
CheshireLookingGlass@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook on the Facebook group page, Cheshire's Place of Looking Glass and Logical Madness. And you can also follow us on Twitter and message us at Place Cheshire. Now, if you're interested in seeing this topic, please hit us up. Now, granted, on Facebook, we mostly get bots and spam, you know, hitting us up. We want actual people with ideas. I don't need to know how to make over $500,000 in rupees.
And we don't need to know that we won. Click here to find our prize.
I actually got one of those messages.
I know. That's why I said it.
You know, we actually want people to interact with us. You know, doesn't matter where you're from.
Yeah. They might not understand you, but if they say yes or no on it, then we'll go over that.
We can hit translate.
I can make some translations up.
But anyways, folks, I'd like to thank my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Monkey, for joining me for tonight.
Thank you for having me again.
So next week, we'll figure out what the episode's going to be. Actually, tomorrow, depending on situation, because I do have corporate coming to my job, I should record. But I do have to go into work for a little bit, so we'll figure things out. We'll play it by ear. But this has been another episode of Cheshire's Place, a Looking Glass in a Logical Madness. I have been your host, the Melodious One, Mr. Cheshire. And just as my namesake, the Cheshire Cat, I am everywhere, yet nowhere. Have a good night.